Today's topic is based on loosely based on pasuk that we have in Parshas Balosa. The only mitzvahs that are mentioned in Parshas Balosa pertain to the Pesach Sheni, which is already passed, so I didn't think that would inspire much interest. So we have to get a little liberal here. So the pasuk that we have, two of the famous pasukim that we say very often, we find in the parasha that even so, Aaron ve'Amar Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'Yafusu v'Edecha, Yanusim v'Sanecha Mishonecha. That even so, Aaron, when the Aaron would travel, which was when the Jewish people would travel in the Midbar, so Moshe said, would say, Kuma Hashem v'Yafusu v'Edecha. So I thought that it might be appropriate to speak about a topic which comes up fairly often, and that is, when can a Sefer Torah be moved? When can a Sefer Torah be moved into out of a Aron into a temporary location? And this is a shiloh which comes up commonly in the house of an Ovel, a person who's mourning. So the practice that we have is that we bring the Torah to that person, and it also, in other situations, people go away for a weekend. Sometimes we have a group of people, a convention or whatever it may be, that they're going to a hotel for a Shabbos, and they're taking with them a Sefer Torah in order to have the Kriyas HaTorah. And so everybody just assumes that there's no problem with this, that you could just take it. After all, there's a minion of people going, and there's going to be a minion there, so we could take a Torah to this place. But in fact, this involves a halacha which is highly controversial, not so well known, but very, very much discussed in the poskim. And it's based, it's an amazing thing, it's based on a Mishnah and actually a Gemara that's found in the Yerushalmi in Masechus Yuma. And that is this. So we have it here on the first sheet. The Mishnah, this is a copy of the page of the Yerushalmi. So the Mishnah tells us in Sefer Yuma, I believe it's the seventh parak, the Mishnah says that we have, after all, the whole Avodah of Yom Kippur. We know that there was a very complex order of events that took place. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was the focus of the whole Kli Yisrael, and the Avodah of the Beis Hamikdash was crucial to the Kli Yisrael achieving a kapara. And there were various karbanos, and as we know, the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim several times and would bring the Ketoret. And then they had the Sar HaMishtaleach, they had what we call in English the scapegoat that was sent out into the desert. And that was already towards the end, getting towards the end of the process of the Avodah. And after that, there actually took place a Kriyas HaTorah. The Torah was read in the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohen Gadol. That was part of the series of events. And the Mishnah here tells us, Bolo Kohen Gadol Likros, that the Kohen Gadol would come to Lane. At this point, the Kohen Gadol had to know how to read the Torah. They would bring him a Sefer Torah. We'll see in a second. And the Mishnah begins by saying that he had a choice. He could continue wearing the Big Day Lavan. He could continue wearing the special garments made for him for Yom Kippur when he read the Torah, or he could have worn other begadim. But if we go down to the third line of the Mishnah, it says as follows. It says, Chazan HaKnesses Notel Sefer Torah. That they had a Beis HaKnesses. There was actually a shul on the Har HaBayis. In other words, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was on the mountain on top of which stood the Beis HaMikdash, there was also a shul. There was also a shul, and in that shul they had a Sefer Torah. And the Chazan HaKnesses, the Chazan in the Mishnah, when we find the Chazan, the word chazan, which we today always use to refer to a person who leads the davening, but in reality, that's not what the word means. The word chazan or chazan refers to the person who's in charge. It more accurately translated, the word chazan would mean like what we call today the gabbai, because the word chazan in Hebrew is from the word chozeh. Chozeh means the seer, meaning the person whose job it is to see what the needs are. That person was referred to as the chazan. But today, we call a person, the colloquial usage of the word chazan today is the person who leads the davening in front of the tzibur, he is the chazan. But in the Mishnah, that's not what the word means. Okay, in the Mishnah, when they refer to the person who leads the davening, he's always referred to as the shliach tzibur, as the person who is the shliach, the messenger on behalf of the entire congregation. And when they use the word chazan, they're referring to the person that we today would call the gabbai of the shul. Another title which they don't use so much today is we all say the shamish of the shul, right? Meaning the person who it's his job to see to it that the needs are taken care of. So anyway, so this shul that stood on the Harabais, they had a person who was called the chazan HaKnesset. So he would go and take the Torah from this shul. Now there was no Sefer Torah located in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash itself did not contain the Sefer Torah, other than there's an opinion that says that in the Aron, which they had in the first Beis HaMikdash, so there was a Sefer Torah in there, but there was no Sefer Torah that was taken out and read from. The closest Sefer Torah was in this Knesset, in this Beis HaKnesset. So it says that the Chazan HaKnesset, that this fellow knows the Sefer Torah, he would take the Sefer Torah, v'nosno l'rosh HaKnesset, and he would give it to the head of the shul. The head of the shul. Okay, the person who was, I guess, even the leader of it. V'rosh HaKnesset, nosno l'sugan. And that person would then and go give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol. We know that there always had to be an assistant Kohen Gadol in case something happens to the Kohen Gadol, especially in Kippur. They had to always have an assistant. So therefore, the Gabbai would give it to the head of the Knesset. And the head of the Knesset would then go and give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol. Okay? And then the Haskan Nosno Kohen Gadol. Then the Sgan, the assistant Kohen Gadol, would hand it to the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol Omid Makabel, the Kohen Gadol would receive the Torah, the Kore Ba'omid, the Kore Achare Mos, Ba'ach Ba'asar. The Kohen Gadol would receive the Torah, and then he would read from the selections, the sections of the Torah that speak about Yom Kippur. The parts in the Torah that speak about Yom Kippur in Parshas Acharei Mos and in Parshas Emor, he would read from those sections. So in other words, in order for this Kriyas HaTorah to take place, there was a whole process. Now you think it's only today that you have a whole protocol that this one answered to this one. In the Beis HaMikdash you had it also. There was a four-way handoff that took place. The Gabbai took it, the Gabbai of the Knesset took it out of the Aron, and he handed it over to the Rosh HaKnesset. The Rosh HaKnesset handed it over to the assistant Kohen Gadol, and the assistant Kohen Gadol brought it to the Kohen Gadol, and at that point they were ready to land. Okay, that was the protocol. They stood on ceremony. It had to be done this way. This is the way it was done. So now, alright, so that's what the Mishnah tells us. If you go down to the Gemara, the last three lines of the Gemara, we find a remarkable thing. The Gemara says, "Bechol asar." Again, this is in the Yerushalmi. "Bechol asar ad omar hochin achar haTorah." Says the Gemara that ordinarily we have a concept. Ordinarily we have a principle that we go after the Torah. The Torah doesn't come to us. That a person, a Sefer Torah, is supposed to be given a tremendous honor, is supposed to be given kavod. And the kavod of a Sefer Torah is that we know that if someone is important, right, if a person needs to speak to someone important, you go to them. Right? If the person wants to make an appointment to speak to the president, you have to go to the president. You can't call him up and say, let him come to me. So therefore, the Gemara says that ordinarily, the principle is that a person goes to the Sefer Torah. But yet, we find over here, V'hocha at Omar Molichin as HaTorah at one. Says the Yerushalmi, amazing thing, but here, that's not what's happening. In other words, presumably, if they needed to read from the Sefer Torah, the Kohen Gadol should not have stood on ceremony, he should not have stood in the Beis HaMikdash waiting for someone to bring the Torah to him, he should have gone to where the Torah was, to read the Torah, that's the Kavod HaTorah. So the Gemara is wondering, what kind of arrangement is this? This doesn't seem to be consistent with our usual practice of Kavod HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Ela al yidei shehem b'nei adam gedolim hatorim is alabohem. Says the Gemara that here it's different because here, since these were all very great people, so since they were great people, it was an honor for the Torah. It was an honor for the Torah to be held by such people. So therefore, in that situation, you're allowed to bring the Torah to them. Ordinarily, we would say that this would not be appropriate, that the correct approach would be go to the Torah. But here, since these people are such great people, so it was an aliyah for the Torah, it was an elevation for the Torah, that the Torah should be held by them and brought to them, and this is what the Yerushalmi tells us. So then, to continue along here, it's on the very bottom of the page, just because it carries over to the next page in the Yerushalmi. So it says, so the Gemara says, but Haman Movilin Araitza Gabi Reish Galusa. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute, the Gemara says that we find another place that in Babel there was another time that the Torah was taken out and it was brought to the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the political leader of the Jewish people in Babel. When the Jews went into Golus, so the leader, they had a person who was the designated representative who negotiated with the government whenever there was a need for the Jewish people, and that person was called the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa, we refer to this in the davening on Shabbos, and you say, you comport when you say Reish Galvasa. Reish Galvasa means the heads of the exile. The heads of the exile, there was an official position in Babel for several hundred years called the Reish Galusa. Now this person did not necessarily have to be a Talmud Chacham. In other words, often the case was that he was, but not always. Not always. You find in the Gemara reference to the Reish Galusa, not always was that person a learned man. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, how come in Babel apparently they had some times that they would bring the Sefer Torah to him? So Amar of Yosef, they Rabun. So the Gemara answers, Haman al Yidei Shazara Shaldavid Meshuka Shom. The Gemara says that the reason for that is because even though they themselves were not necessarily people of great stature, but the practice was that the Reish Galusa had to come from the family of David, had to be from the Malchus Beis David, because we have a concept that the leaders of the Jewish people should always endeavor that they should be from the house of the Malchus Beis David. So therefore, since these people were from that house, so the Gemara says, Abdul Lung Kaminagav Hosra. Even though they weren't great necessarily, but because it was, you know, they represented great people, they represented greatness, so we gave it to them also. This is the Gemara. So in other words, it comes out from this Gemara that we have the idea that a person is supposed, if there is a Sefer Torah and a person needs to read the Torah, the correct thing is to go to the Torah, not that the Torah should come to me. The Torah should not be brought to a person, it's not considered proper respect. How come the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, they brought it to him? Says the Gemara, that's because he was such a great man, and the other people involved also were great people, so that was honor for the Torah, that the Torah should be brought to them. But other than that, it would seem from here that a person should go to where the Torah is. Based on this Yerushalmi, this obscure Gemara does not appear in the Talmud Bavli, we don't have anything like this. Based on this, if you turn over to the second side, we have a shock, an amazing shock, which is brought in the Mordechai. It's quoted here from the Beis Yosef, but it's in the Mordechai in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, and the Mordechai, who was one of the great Ashkenazic Rishonim, quoted it. This is actually a tshuva from the Maram Meir Rotenberg. Maram Meir Rotenberg was a great halachic authorities of Ashkenazic Jewry, and he said the following thing. We have here, it's the second paragraph on the sheet. Kazav Mordechai, Matsasi b'tshuva. The Mordechai says, I saw it written in a tshuva from the Maram Meir Rotenberg, the Bnei Adam hachavushim the Beis HaAsurim ein meviim etzlam Sefer Torah. In the old times, it was unfortunately a not uncommon event that Jews were imprisoned. That Jews were they lived under tyranny for the Jews in Europe, certainly in the Eastern countries also. But this was speaking about Ashkenazim, right? That they lived under governments that did not have any semblance of yashrus, and therefore people were put into jail simply because they were Jewish. So the question was, if you have people in jail, and they're from people, they want to dive on a minion, and they want to have Kriyas HaTorah, can you bring them a Sefer Torah to keep there in the jail? This was the question that was asked. So the Meram Rottenberg passed in the Mordechai quotes it, that you're not allowed to bring the Sefer Torah to them. Afil for Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippur. You cannot bring it to them even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They cannot have a Sefer Torah. Why not? So he says, because of this Yerushalmi. He says, Kedamrinam Yerushalmi Terek Bolo, like we find over here, and he quotes the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara that we just read, and based on this, he has the Psak that you cannot bring a Sefer Torah to these people because of the fact that the only Hefter that we find in the Gemara, in other words, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that the Kohen Gadol, the Torah came to the Kohen Gadol instead of him going there, and the Gemara's only parrots for that was that because he was a great man, so therefore it was an aliyah for the Torah that he should get it. Says the Merami Rottenberg, but it would come out that anybody else couldn't do that. So therefore, if people are imprisoned, the Ram Rottenberg, he himself, as well known, he himself, at the end of his life, was imprisoned also, was held for a ransom. Ram Rottenberg Paskin, that you could not bring a Sefer Torah to them. This is what he says. Now, if you're thinking about this, you will say, wait a second, it doesn't sound like the same situation, because of the fact that in the case of the people in jail, they have no alternative. What are you supposed to do? What, I should go to the Torah? I'd love to go to the Torah. They won't let me out of here. Right? I'm standing there behind bars. So what then would you like me to do? Right? So in other words, the Kohen Gadol could have just as well gone to get the Torah. And theoretically, he could have walked over there.
Could he on Yom Kippur? Could he have left?
Apparently he could have, I guess. It sounds like. I don't know exactly, but certainly it seems that he could have left. He was still on the Harabayas. I don't know. Well, you'll see in a second. So you want to say maybe he couldn't leave, but just in terms of analyzing this, it's not 100% the same situation. So we'll see about this in a minute. We'll see about this right now, because based on this, we find another psak. It's an amazing, this halacha is scattered. It's scattered in little tidbits in different places, and you have to piece it together. There is a psak that is brought also from one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, Ars Ruach, which is found in the Hagos on the Rush in the first parak of Brachas, which is on the second side of the sheet here, and he says the following thing. The Ars Ruach says, Chole sheyochol lechaven. So as the Ruach says, if you have a person who's bedridden, a sick person, the person is in his house, and he can't get out and go to shul, but he's able to be mechaven, his mind is clear, he's able to daven. So yavo asara v'yisfalu imo. So 10 people should come and they should daven with him. In other words, that's the appropriate thing. He should not miss out on the benefit of davening with a minion. So there should be a minion should go to his house. It's interesting. We don't, today, we're very careful that an oval, the doctor to the person sitting Shiva, we always run to make minyan. But sometimes you have a chola, a person who's sick, and he can't get out of his house. But we don't have this practice of, for some reason, we don't, all right, what could you do? He's stuck at home. But apparently, you say the same thing. Go make a minion for him also. Why should you miss out on a minion? So the question, so the question was, what should you do? So the Ars Ruach said that absolutely they should send the minion over to his house. That he should ask with the minion. And then he says further, the imhu adam chashuv biiro, if he is a respected person, an adam chashuv in his place, may v'im lo sefer Torah b'deiso, you could bring the sefer Torah to his house. V'ikaru osav asara shemispalum imo, and you could link. They could not only could they make a minion there, but they could link. This is the psak the way we find it over here. In other words, you could send the minion over to his house, and you could take a sefer Torah to him. Now, the way this is presented here, it doesn't contradict anything that we said, because you'll say that if, as Zeruv says, that if he's an Adam Chashuv, So if he's an Adam Chashuv, then he is parallel to the case of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore we understand. We said Yerushalmi itself, the Gemara itself said that if a person is a Chashuv, if it's going to be an honor for the Torah to go to that person, you could bring him the Torah. So here too, you would say, all right, so it's the same thing. You're bringing the Torah to that person. However, the Zakei Moshe, the Ramah, in his comments here, which is found on the bottom of this sheet, the Zakei Moshe says that the way this psak is written in the Hagol that we have on the top of this page is not accurate. And I wasn't able to track down the Sefer or the Ruah to find the exact quote. So this is the piece that we have on the top of the sheet is found in the Hagos that are on the Rush, but it's being said over. So the Ramah, in his commentary on the Torah, the Ramah says that I looked up the Or the Ruah in the original. He says that if you look there, you will see that when he says that he's an Adam Chashuv, you could bring him the Torah, what the Or HaZeruah really said was that if he's an Adam Chashuv, then you could bring it to him even if he's not sick. But if he's sick, you could bring it to him even if he's not an Adam Chashuv. That's what it says. In other words, the way we have it, it sounds like he has to be both. And if he has to be both, then it's consistent with the psak that we have from the Yerushalmi. However, the Zakei Moshe says, if you look inside, go get the original. Right, don't trust when things are quoted over. Go get the original. And you will see that he says there that either one is enough. If he's chashuv, you can bring it to him. Or if he's sick, even though he's an ordinary person, nevertheless, you could bring him the Torah as well. Now this already raises the eyebrows. Because here you'll say, well, alright, if he's chashuv, I understand, because that's like the Kohen Gadol. But if he's sick, and he doesn't have he's not a person of great stature, he's just so to speak, an ordinary person, but nevertheless, he's ill, you're allowed to bring him the Torah. So why should that be? So apparently, the reason for that is, because, right, so what do they do, if you would ask Gar Zeruah, say, hey, wait a second, how do you explain what it says in Yerushalmi? In Yerushalmi it said that only for another Chashuv can you bring the Torah. The Gemara's whole issue was, how'd they bring it to the Kohen Gadol? And the answer was, they could bring it to the Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol was Chashuv. But here he's talking about a sick person, so how do you get that? How does that jive, so to speak? How is that consistent with the Yerushalmi? So apparently, you have to say that the Ruah held that since this person has no choice, the Chole has no choice. He can't go to shul. So if he can't go to shul, so then it's not a lack of respect for the Torah to bring the Torah to him. In other words, this distinction that we made originally, the Marame Rottenberg said, just to summarize, it's a little complicated. The Marame Rottenberg gave the psak that if Jews are imprisoned, you cannot bring them a Sefer Torah even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because it's disrespectful to the Torah. It's not where the Torah belongs. The Torah's home is in the shul. That's where you have the Aron. That's where the Torah lives. To go take the Torah to somebody is disrespectful. That's what the Marami Rottenberg said. So we said, but wait a second, but maybe it's only disrespectful if that person can go to the Torah. But if that person cannot go to the Torah, maybe it's not disrespectful. So in fact, that's what the Or HaZeruah says. The Or HaZeruah's psak seems to be that a choleh you could bring a Torah to, because of the fact that he cannot go to shul. So the Marami Rottenberg, which is quoted by the Mordechai, seems to be of the opinion that you can't do it in such a situation. So what really needs to be understood here is, why should that be? Why should that be? Now, I'll take a question one second. We have to keep in mind, Rabbosai, that riding on this, as it sounds like very, theoretical, but riding on this is going to be the question of, can you bring the Torah, like our common practice of bringing the Torah to the house of an Ovel, Right? So how do you bring the Torah to the house of an oval? So it should really be riding on this, because if you hold, like the Maram of Rottenberg held, that there's no way you could do it, then you shouldn't be allowed to do it either. If, on the other hand, our Zeruah says that he should, an oval can't go out of his house. So if an oval can't go out of his house, then he can't go to shul. Then it should be mutter. Yeah.
It would appear,
yeah,
that what would solve the apparent problem,
yes,
here,
yes,
would be that if part of the minyan going to the person's home,
right,
would contain, would have a hush of a person,
yes, yes,
to bring the Torah.
Yeah, that would be true. In other words, if the oval was an Adam Gadol, then there would be no question. You want to say if the delegation had it, maybe that would be good too, but that's not necessarily the common practice. Like, do we always tell the rabbi in the shul to go down and buy the oval?
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily, right? So how do we do this? And on the other hand, you really, the Maram and Ruttenberg's opinion in itself is really difficult to understand, because you say to yourself, why is that disrespectful to the Torah? In other words, if you think about it, the Yerushalmi's case is speaking with the Kohen Gadol, who apparently could have gone to get it himself. Apparently, I don't know how he, apparently he could have gone to get it himself. A person who can't go to get himself, you can say, you can't bring the Torah to him. Why not? Because it's disrespectful. Why is it disrespectful? He wants to learn the Torah. He wants to read the Torah. So that's disrespectful that you should bring the Torah to him? It's one thing if you tell me that it's disrespectful because you could have gone there. So, you know, what do you make the Torah come to you? That's not derech eretz. Then you should go. But I can't go. I can't go. People are in jail. They're in prison. It's not their fault. They're in prison. In the old times, they were in prison for lack of any valid reason. Very commonly, the people were put into jail and they were stuck there. If you want to bring the Sefer Torah to them, so what's the problem?
They were going to the place, not the person.
So one explanation that's given, which I saw, is that there is somebody, it's quoted in the name of the father of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that he wanted to say that the Pesach of the Maram Rottenberg was speaking where you bring it. The prisons in those days wasn't like it is today, they didn't have tennis courts, and therefore he's talking about a dungeon, a terrible place to be, and to put a Sefer Torah in such a place is a disaster. Okay, that could be, but yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Isn't it a huge leap to say somebody in Hashem in a city is comparable to the common Gadol?
Somebody in Hashem in a city. So I think the reason why they can compare it is because of the end of the Yerushalmi with the Reish Galusa. In other words, the end of the story in Yerushalmi was that the Reish Galusa, who was not necessarily the head of the representative of the people in Golis, was not necessarily a person of stature. So the Gemara says, but because he's from the Malchus Beis David, so you could bring it to him also. So that already opens it up, that there's obviously more flexibility. There's more flexibility here. So let's see. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We can also say that
Yeah.
As opposed to those people who might be in a...
Okay, alright. I'm just saying that apparently the Polskim said that it would apply to Adam Klatsch. I agree. I even the Reish Galusa is more than just a distinguished person, but apparently all the Rishonim understood it that way. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, we'll see. Hold on. Yeah, okay. In Eastern Europe, in those days, they didn't have to synagogue in the shul. That's just the way it was.
You said before that they locked up someone because he was Jewish.
Yes.
Now, if someone were bringing this Jewish guy to say the Torah, wouldn't they lock this guy up because he's Jewish also, and also to say the Torah?
I don't know. Apparently,
I don't know how to explain it.
Apparently, they felt they could do it. I don't know. They held him for ransom. Maram Rottenberg himself was the leader of German Jewry, was in prison. He was held for ransom, and he said they shouldn't ransom him. He died in jail. They didn't even let out his body until it was ransomed. So in those days there were a lot of crazy things going on, but apparently a Sefer Torah they would have allowed. So anyway, so how do we explain this opinion around the Rambam? So one explanation could be because a prison is a particularly bad place. However, the Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha says a remarkable explanation. In the Bir Halacha, which is on the first side of the second sheet here, on the side of the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha says an amazing teretz. And he says that he believes that the Psach of the Mordechai was said when the Shulchan Aruch, just for the record, if you look here on top, the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yudalid, brings the Psach of the Maran Rottenberg. The Ne'odim Achushim, the Beis HaSurim, Eim Avim Etzlam Sefer Torah, finished and made it into the Shulchan Aruch. Whereas even though it's coming from the Yerushalmi, but nevertheless, this Halacha made the big time. Right? That you can't bring the Sefer Torah to such a purpose. However, says so the Bir Halacha, if you read through the whole piece, which I'm not going to do now, he's asking this question. He says, I don't understand. What's disrespectful to the Torah? They're clamoring for the Torah. They desperately want the Torah. And you can't bring the Torah to them? So he says an amazing thing. He says that the reason why the Psach was you couldn't bring it to jail was because there was not a minion. And when there's not a minion of Jews in jail, he says an amazing thing. He says, that the obligation to read the Torah that we have, the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, is only a chiyuv on the tzibur. It's not a chiyuv on the yachid. Which means that the obligation to read the Torah is, if you have 10 people together, and they're davening, let's say, on a Monday or a Thursday, whatever it is, a Shabbos, they have an obligation to read the Torah. But what happens if a person lives in a place where there is no minyan? Does he have to go to Davka? Does he have a chiyuv to get in his car, or in the old days, to get in his wagon and go travel to a place to hear the Kriyas HaTorah? So the answer is no, he doesn't. In other words, even though there are times in the year when you do have that obligation, for example, on Purim, to go hear the Megillah, even if a person lived on a farm, an isolated place, he would have to somehow, he doesn't have to necessarily need a minyan, but he has to go hear the Megillah read. Right? Another case which is discussed in the poskim is Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, when we read the special section about Mechias Amolek. So there also, that is a chiyuv even on the yochid. So therefore we find that the halach is brought and we speak to people who lived in farms, whether in Europe or even in America, where Jews lived in farms in the 1920s and 1930s, so when it came to Shabbos before Purim, they would pack up and go to the town to hear the laying of Parsha Zohar, because that is an obligation on the individual. However, the regular Kriyas HaTorah that we have in Shul says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Bir Halacha, that's only if you have a minyan. If you don't have a minyan, you don't have that obligation. So therefore, he says that the Mordechai, the Tzach, the Maran Rottenberg was speaking because in the prison they didn't have a minyan. They didn't have 10 Jewish prisoners. They had whatever, less than that. So therefore, in that type of situation, you don't have to bring the Torah. Then you shouldn't bring the Torah to them because they have no chiyuv. They have no chiyuv. They don't have a particular obligation to hear it. However, if there would have been a minyan, if there would have been an obligation to do it, then you would be allowed to bring the Torah to them. In other words, without a chiyuv, so then it's like my personal desire to hear the Torah. So then you could say that that's not respectful to the Torah to bring the Torah to me. Because the Torah has its place, and the Torah doesn't make house calls, right? The Torah doesn't make house. The Torah doesn't have to climb. If I want the Torah, so I have to go to the Torah. LMI, I can't get there. What could you do? But if there's a minyan, then it's already a halakhic obligation to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. And in that situation, then says the Chafetz Chaim, in his opinion, then you could have done it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then what about the sick person who's in their home?
So the Chafetz Chaim comes out, he says that in his opinion it would come out that if there would be a minion in a place, if there would be a minion of people in a place, then you could bring them the Sefer Torah there if it's a situation where they cannot get up and go out. So therefore, the Chafetz Chaim is saying this pertaining to this psach, that if you had, let's say, imprisoned people, if there was a minion of them, you could bring the Sefer Torah to them. One second. So, but if it would seem though that according to this, that if you're going to bring a minion of people to the house, then you couldn't do it. Because they don't, in other words, getting back to our case of the house of the Ovel. So the house of the Ovel, other than, the Ovel can't go to shul. But everybody else can. So everybody else can go to shul. So what is, so it would seem, according to this, that it would still not be permitted to bring the Torah to the house of the Ovel. Because how do you justify that? They let everyone else go to shul. So you'll say, well, you want to make them a minion. Fine. You can make them a minion, but you don't have to lay there. You can make them a minion, and then all the non-Aveilim could proceed to shul and lay in the shul. In other words, you have a chiyuv to lay. So you don't have to chiyuv to lay in his house. You have a chiyuv to lay. So go to the shul. You want to make him we want to have the best of both worlds. We want to make him a minion and have chiyuv to Torah. So who says that you should do that? Well, how do you justify that? You want to make a minion, make him a minion. You want to get chiyuv to Torah, so go to the shul. He won't be able to. So he's an individual. And if he's an individual, he doesn't have this hedge. Yes.
In regards to this whole situation, especially a prisoner,
yeah.
If I'll ever employ the victim of honest Pachira Rahmana.
Right. Okay, so that's even more reason. In other words, he's an honest. If he's an honest, he can't get the Torah. So he's a Chavtan saying even more than that. Chavtan saying he doesn't have a Chiyuv altogether. So based on this, we would have the question, what would be the hesed to bring the Torah to the house of an Ovel? Now you should know that, you know, you think this is heresy, but we're not going to bring the Torah to the house of an Ovel. From all the Sfarim that I saw, the old minute, not only in Europe, but it's brought the Kafachayim, for the Sfarim here, the Kafachayim says very strongly that one should not bring the Torah to the house of a novel. They quote this because the Kafachayim is influenced by a psak in the Zohar. It says that the Torah shouldn't move from place to place, the Torah shouldn't be brought to a temporary place, and therefore it seems that the old minute, both amongst European Jewry and amongst the Spartans, was that they did not bring the Sefer Torah to the house of an Ovel, but rather, he says it explicitly, that they didn't bring it to the house of an Ovel, but rather they would make a minion by the house of an Ovel, but then the people would proceed to the non-Aveilim would go to the shul and hear the Kriyas HaTorah. However, we cannot say that this should be the Pesach, because everybody does it. Everybody does it today. So the question is not can you do it, but how do we justify it? Okay. So the next attempt to find a hezer, to bring a Torah to the house of an Ovel, is found here in the Ramah. The Ramah here on this very page brings a psak from the Maharam Mipadua. The Maharam Mipadua is one of the early Achronim, and he said the following thing. He said that when we speak about not bringing a Torah to a person's house or to a temporary location, what's the reason? The reason is because it's disrespectful because the Torah is coming to you. Meaning what? Meaning that the Torah is coming to your house. So the Torah is not in its, well, you're staying in your place, and you're making the Torah travel. Rather than you going to the Torah, you're making the Torah come to you. Says the Ramah, based on, it's actually more than one source, the Ramah says that if, however, you could establish a home for the Torah in the temporary place, then it wouldn't be a problem. Because the whole issue is that the Torah is leaving its home and coming to you. Mm-hmm. But let's say I make a home away from home for the Torah. Right? The Sefer Torah could also check into a hotel. Right? In other words, I make a, we'll go on a Travelocity, right? Find a nice hotel for a good price, right? And we'll bring the Sefer Torah. The Torah is going on to a temporary location. Says the Ramah, he says, Abba when Mechinim lo Sefer Torah, when do we say you can't move the Torah? That's when the Torah is being lain. Meaning that if you want to go, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, let's say the person sitting in Shiva is two doors down from the shul, let's say. Right? So, alright, now it's time to go lain. Let's send someone over to the shul, take out a Torah, and bring it to the house. That you can't do. He says, Avo Mechinim will say the Torah, Yomo Yomayim Kodem Mutter. But if you establish a home for the Sefer Torah for a day or two, That's a funny expression, a day or two, because it's the one day, what do you mean, 2 days, but whatever, a day or two, then it would be permitted. This is what the Ramah says, and in the Mishnah Brura, in Sivkot and Mempes, on the bottom of the page, he says not only that, not only, in other words, according to the Ramah, it would come out that if you brought the Torah, let's say, 2 days in advance, so now the Torah is going to be there, and it's already in its new home. It's not like you made the Torah come to you, because you established a temporary home for the Torah, and therefore it's not disrespectful. But of course, we all realize that with an oval, that's not possible, because nobody plans these things in advance. So therefore, the oval wouldn't have that hetzer. Says the Mishnah Brura that we could expand this tzak and say that it would even be true if you will bring it to the house of the oval and leave it there from now. Now I'm going to bring it, but I'm going to leave it there for a couple of days. I'm not taking it just for the laying and bringing it back, but rather I will bring it there before the laying. In other words, to bring it there just when you're laying, that means that you're calling the Torah to come to you. But I'm going to bring it there before they start davening. So let's say the Ovel, Rahman is sitting Shiva, so let's say it was a Sunday. So Sunday night, you'll bring him the Torah. And that way, the Torah is camped out in his house already. And now it comes Monday morning, Kriyas HaTorah. The Torah is in its hotel. The Torah is in its temporary dwelling. And you will then leave it in that house for a couple of days. Says the Mishnah Brura, that would be good also. That would be good also. Now this tzak is a very great hetzer. This gives us a lot of leeway, because this would be the basis that if you bring a Sefer Torah and you'll leave it there for a couple of days, even if you didn't have it there in advance, but as long as you had it there in advance of the laying. In other words, to bring it now for the laying, that you cannot do. But if I'll have it there ahead, before the davening, it was there. Before the, and even let's say they couldn't get there at night, but in the morning, if they called the shachris for, let's say, 7 a.m., so at 6:30, someone will come bring the Torah, and they'll put the Torah there, and it'll be there already, and now they'll come to laying, and they'll have it, and they'll leave it there for a couple of days, that will be mutter, and this would be, like I say, a tremendous leeway. Now, many people may have heard is that this tzak only holds if you're going to lane it three times. There is a commonly known tzak, or a common minhag, that in order for this to fly, in order for this to work, the Torah has to be read from three times. Now, the truth is that many poskim say that they don't know what the source for that is, because if you look at the Mishnah Brura, does not say this. The Mishnah Brura does not say this business about three times. However, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, which is found on the final sheet, and the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that you do, he brings down that, if you go down five lines from the top, he says, "V'haminat v'daktek she'yikar bo gimel panim." Says Aruch HaShulchan that the minhag is that you should lane from it three times. Dizer mikri kekvias. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because if you're not going to read from it three times, if you're just going to leave it there for a day or two, apparently that's also not called that this is a set place for the Torah. But if you're going to read from it three times, so then already that would be considered that this is the location of the Torah. The Ein Bizoyin B'mashin Tol Tugur Mideit HaKnesses. And then it's not considered disrespectful. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if it's not going to be read from three times, then even if you brought it in advance, it's not good enough. This is the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, again, the Mishnah Brura does not say this. The Mishnah Brura nowhere mentions this, and the truth is to find an original source. Where did he get this from? Many people say, I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Sternberg, Tshuva Sanhedrin. Nobody knows where this comes from. Right? Where they get this from? It sounds like almost like this is a minhag that evolved. It doesn't really have a source, but this is the minhag that evolved. Now you have to realize that to read the Torah three times in a place is challenging, because the person who's sitting Shiva generally goes to shul on Shabbos. So if he's sitting Shiva for a week, you're only going to have two. You're not going to have three times. Right? They generally don't make a minyan in the house of an oval on Shabbos. And even Mincha, the oval goes to shul. So if we wanted to go by this, you would have the following challenge. You would either have to make a mincha, Shabbos mincha, in the house of the Avol, which is not commonly done. Or the other choice would be to make a minyan in the Avol's house after the Shiva, so that you're laying again, which is also not commonly done. So this would be a problem. On the other hand, as I say, it's not clear that this, what the source of this is. So the minhag ha'olam that we don't do this, as far as I know, that we don't do this, is I think because of the fact that we go by what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah does not have this requirement that it has to be three times, and therefore that we will bring it to the house of the novel simply because it'll be there for a couple of days. But the fact that we're not matzvah to have the three times Kriyas HaTorah, that is, I don't know, that seems to be the min. Now, hold on, let me just finish because we're running over the time here. So now, another passage, this would really be, when it comes to bringing something to an oval, this would really be a question that we have to understand. But as I say, the common minhag is to do it. It could be that the basis is because we just go by what the Mishnah Berurah says. But the thing is that Rav Moshe Feinstein also, you know, someone who we certainly American jury, the world jury, but certainly American jury went by and continued to go by. So he brings down this business about the three times. He says that if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he brings it down. But he also acknowledges the fact that the Mishnah Berurah does not bring it. So therefore he says preferably you should try, if you can, to lay there three times. But he says that's the minute, we should try to follow the minute. He says, but if not, then it sounds like from him that if not, you could do it even, I believe it's mashma that if it came down to it, it's a little bit unclear here, but I think the consensus opinion is that even if you couldn't lane it three times, you could do it, but it's better if you lane three times out of respect to the minute. Okay, now, I just want to finish up with two other cases where this shiloh comes up. So I just want to add, before I go further, that even the heter that is brought down that you could bring the Torah to a temporary place, all the posts say from the Prima Gaudin that it's only if you put the Torah in a respectful place, meaning that there should be an Aron, L'Kapila, there should be an Aron for the Sefer Torah. It should not just be put down on a table, even covered with a talus. That's not really considered respectful. It should be with an Aron. It's brought down in posting that therefore every shul and every Sefer Kadisha should make it their business to go out and buy or make a small Aron, that portable Aron that the Torah could stay in. But even if you're going to bring the Torah to a house and you're going to rely on these heterim, but it's not appropriate to leave the Torah in a disrespectful place. It brings down, it should not be in a room, it should not be kept in a room that people sleep in. It should be kept in a even in an arm, it shouldn't be kept in a room that people sleep in. But even if it's not in a room that people sleep in, it should be put in some sort of safeguarding container. It doesn't have to be a formal arm. If you had a sturdy box, so I'll designate, as long as not a bazillion, in other words, I have a nice wooden box, a cabinet, I'll designate that as a temporary urn, that's fine, but the Torah should have to be kept in such a place. Now, just to finish up, another common application of this shaila would be, what happens if you daven in a shul that possesses one Sefer Torah, and that Sefer Torah became puzzled, and it has to be taken for repair? So you have to bring it in for repair, and the sofer promised you he'd have it ready for Shabbos, but as often happens, you know, it didn't work out that way, right? So now you're stuck. I don't have a Sefer Torah for this Shabbos. So what do we say here? Now here again, you could say, well, you know, on the one hand, we have a tzibur, so we have a minyan of people, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha said, you got a minyan of people, you could do it, even according to Maram Rottenberg. On the other hand, why can't these people go to a different shul to daven? Right? Now, our answer to that is because it wouldn't be called Ged davening in the other shul. But so therefore you have a tour of a ones gadol, so therefore you have no choice. But Baruch Hashem, we don't live in such a place, right? So if that were the case, so why can't you say go to the other shul? So it's brought amazingly. The poskim say that for this there is a third hether, and that is the hether of Adam Chashuv. The hefter that we said that the Kohen Gadol could have the Torah brought to him, and so too the Reish Galusa could have the Torah brought to him, the poskim say that a tzibur has the status of an Adam Chashuv. And therefore, if this minyan is a functioning minyan in a shul, and we have a minyan every single week for years, and therefore if it happens to be we got caught without a Sefer Torah, you could bring the Sefer Torah to that place even without three times. Even without three times, even if they're going to bring the Torah just for Kriyas HaTorah. Just for Kriyas HaTorah. So in other words, just with the Derech Mashal, if in Shari Tefillah, I know that every Baruch Hashem Mashals will have multiple Sefer Torah, but let's just say that the Sefer Torah became possible, they had no other Torah, you could send someone Shabbos morning to the young Israel to get a Torah and bring it there. Even just for the laning, and it could bring it right back. And you can bring it right back. You say, what do you mean? The Torah is portable? The answer is because of the fact that this is Adam Chashuv. Adam Chashuv, we have this chapter. For the record, the postman say though, that if you're going to make your own minion, if you want to make, you have a group of people that decide that we're going to make our own minion, but we don't have to say the Torah. So every week we're going to borrow a say the Torah from a different shul. That is highly questionable whether you're allowed to do that. In other words, if you want to start, right, nowadays we live in the world of specialized minyan, right? You have a young marriage minyan and an old marriage minyan and a grandparents minyan and a youth minyan and a this minyan, right? So let's say you want to start a middle-aged minyan for Ashkenazim who grew up in Pittsburgh, okay? And it's very important that you have such a minyan for people like that, because after all, we all have to have our own specialized minyan nowadays. Right? To the question, but you say, but there's not enough, the 10 people that we scrap together don't have enough money to buy a Sefer Torah. No problem. So every week, I'll go borrow a Sefer Torah from a different shul. That is highly questionable if you can do that. Because of the fact that the heter of Adam Chashuv may not apply, it only applies to a tzibur if the tzibur is established. But if the tzibur is not established, then it's not such a simple thing. So that would be questionable. The last thing I'll end on this. The last shy, which is brought down, amazing thing, which you see, nobody thinks about this at all, and it's discussed in one sefer, it's discussed in the Voldenberg Tzitz Eliezer, and that is, you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you go to the Kol Shel Ma'arvi. The Kol Shel Ma'arvi, everybody runs to daven at the outdoor minyanim of the Kol Shel Ma'arvi, right in front of the Kol Shel. Now, where do they keep the Sifrei Torah? The Sifrei Torah are kept. So, if you go inside, if you go in the cave with, you know, so there already there are aronos that are established that are there that are left there permanently. So there, if you daven that minyan, there's no problem. But what do all the outside people do? So as we know, you go there, you see that there's a room, you know, in that cave, but, you know, to the left, there's a small room where they have all these aronos. They have many, many aronos, very beautiful set up there, and that's where they keep the Sifrei Torah. So now nobody thinks twice, right? So you go down by the kulta, comes time for laning. Oh, let's go get the Torah. But here you have the question, laning, let's go get the Torah. You bring the Torah to you. You're not supposed to bring the Torah to you. So is this a problem or not? So there are some who say that it's a problem. There are some people who say that go daven over there. Don't bring the Torah. Why? Because you want to stand in this place. You found a spot. Right? We found a spot in between all the bar mitzvahs. We found a spot that's available to make a minyan. So why must the Torah go to you? Go there and daven. Yet nobody does it. So it's hard to know how you explain it. It could be, so in the Tzitz Eliezer, he does not have an easy time being makel. It could be, you could say, I don't know, some svara that, like the Kosmer Rav is one big shul, and therefore all those arons, even though that's 15 separate arons, and no shul in the world has such a thing, but nevertheless, that's all the arons for the shul. It's hard to know. So Lamaisa, it could be that if you next time you're there, if someone gives you the honor of taking out the Torah, you may want to say, I'd rather get an Aliyah, give someone else to read the Torah. Right? I'm very maxed on my covet. I only take Aliyahs. You know, but this is a question which it's hard to know the answer. Everyone does this. It's hard to say that it's usher, but it's hard to know exactly what the answer to that is.